thank you, Jesus. Oh, every hill shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you another week, Lord, you have opened unto us. We thank you for the week that has already gone. All our going outs and coming in, Lord, grace was sufficient for us, Lord. And Father, this morning, we thank you that grace once again has brought us, Lord, to your presence, O God. Father, to begin the week, Lord, right from your house, Lord Jesus. Father, we've come, Lord, because we know, you have something good in store for us. And we came not on our own. It is you that drew us, Lord, to come to your presence, Lord. So, Father, even as we've come, Lord, we come with all humility, Lord Jesus. We come with God believing. We come, Lord Jesus, with our faith lifted, that, Lord, we will receive from you this day, O God. So, Lord, we want to start the week, Lord, right here with the Sunday school. And, Father, we want to commit it into your hands. As you have been teaching us, Lord, once again, we sit at your feet to hear from you, Lord. So, Father, as we read your word, O God, come and make it, Lord, a living bread unto us. We ask it, Lord Jesus, in all your blessed name. Amen. Amen. Shall we be seated? Let's keep standing for a moment. Let's read our text, our scripture. Still on Revelation 3:7. In Philadelphia, Christ in every church age. And in Philadelphia, he said he's the Holy One, he's the true, and he is the one that holds the key of David. Now, let's read Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Amen. Shall we be seated? God, Richie, bless you. Yeah, we are still on our studies. Christ in every church age, how he appears to every church age. And here to the church of Philadelphia, he said to John to write to that church, that these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. And we have gone through he that is holy and he that is true. And now we come this morning, we are on he that had the key of David. Amen. Amen. So in the Philadelphia Church Age book, the prophet started, he said, he that had the key of David. He said, this beautiful phrase follows and comes out of the preceding phrase, he that is true. So, he that hath the key of David is connected to he that is true. Amen. And when we were studying he that is true, the prophet was talking about the partial realization and the perfect realization, which means that there are two significant things, praise the Lord, but one comes in the shadow form, and then the other comes in the perfect form. Amen. So, the prophet quoted when Jesus talked about the bread of life. Praise the Lord. When he talked about the bread of life, he talked about the bread that was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Amen. And that was the partial bread. Because that bread could not sustain, it just sustained for the day. Amen. And then we talked about the perfect bread, which is Jesus Christ himself, who is, I am the bread of life. You see. So we have the partial. It did something, all right, because the prophet himself said, those small pellets of bread, it would sustain the people. They never got sick. Amen. But it was something that was natural. It fed them naturally. It gave them strength, physical strength, gave them energy. But we are talking about what? Eternal life. So the perfect bread that's Jesus Christ. That's why he said we should not labor for that meat that endureth, the meat that perisheth, but let us labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. So we talked about the blood of bulls and goats also that was being used for atonement. Praise the Lord. But the blood of bulls and goats could not what? Could not save. Every year they come back with that same sin again. But Jesus, the perfect blood, amen. When he offered once and for all, it what? It cleansed everyone, amen. That there's no more desire in man's heart to go and what? Do the same thing he did in the past. Who is here who is still desiring to go and do the things of his past? No one. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's the blood. That's how the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we talked about even the priesthood. That the priesthood, he said, when we read Hebrews, he said, if the Levitical priesthood was perfect, then there was no need for another priesthood to rise in the order of what? Melchizedek. Amen. You should have still been what? In order of what? Aaron. But because that was not what? It was a shadow. See? So that was partial. But the perfect priesthood, praise the Lord, Melchizedek, Jesus himself. And thank God that he said, he has made you and me kings and priests unto God. Amen. So let's look at the key of David. So he said it has a connection to he that is true, that's the perfect and the partial. So he said Christ, the perfect realization contrasted with what? Partial realization. He said here it is again. See? He gave an example like Moses was a prophet of God. Listen to how the prophet put it. He said Moses was a prophet of God. Amen. You know, Moses himself said, God will rise up and the prophet just like unto me. Yeah. So we see Moses as what? The partial, the shadow of the real prophet to come. So this is the way how the prophet put it. He said, Moses was a prophet of God, but Jesus was the prophet of God. So look at the difference now. Moses was a prophet of God, but Jesus is the prophet of God. Amen. And then we come on to David now. He said, David, a man after God's own heart, was the king of Israel. But Jesus is the greater David. That's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And he was God. Amen. So now, the prophet asks us to turn to Isaiah 22:22. Brother, can you give it to us? Isaiah 22:22. we are on, he had the key of David. So we're going to know the key of David. Isaiah 22:22. Now it says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Praise the Lord. Isaiah truly, in fact, you see, Isaiah gave prophecies from both Genesis to Revelation. You know, we have 66 books. In all, the Bible has 66 books. Isaiah wrote what? 66 chapters. And it dealt with the whole of what? The Bible. Praise the Lord. See, the same thing he said here is what Jesus introduced himself, that I am the one that has the key of David. When I open, no one can shut. If I shut, no one can open. But Isaiah had prophesied this. And now Isaiah had what? Giving us where this key was, because it's very important. Let's listen to what the prophet said. So the Spirit uses this Old Testament reference concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry in the church. Now, what the key of David signified at that time were mere shadow. Amen. What the key of David signified at that time is mere shadow, which is now fulfilled in Jesus standing in the midst of the lampstands. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love that. Jesus standing in the midst of his church. So this morning, he's here. Amen. He's here this morning. I always love that scripture, that statement, that he stands in the midst of his church. Praise the Lord. So that every morning he's here, every time he's here. So in the time past, the key of David signified only a mere shadow. But now it is fulfilled in Jesus standing in the midst of the lampstand. We know John saw it when he heard that great voice. Amen. Like unto what? A trumpet. And when he turned to see that voice, he saw one like unto the Son of Man standing in the midst of what? Seven candlesticks. You see, praise the Lord. As the seven candlesticks we know being what? The seven churches. So, he said, but what does the key signify? Now let's listen closely here. But what does this key signify? The answer lies in the position of the key. Amen. The answer lies in the what? The position of the key. When we talk about the key of David, or we talk about what key signifies, he said it what? The answer lies in the position of the key. And when we read Isaiah 22, he said where the key was. Upon his shoulder. Amen. Let's listen to what the prophet said. But what does this key signify? The answer lies in the position of the key. It is not in his hands. It is not in his hands. It is not worn around his neck. The key. We are looking where it's positioned. It's not in his hands. It's not being worn around the neck. It reminds me of a church in Ghana. They have a very heavy key. Very heavy one. Anytime the preacher is going to preach, he has to wear that key. And he said it's a burden that puts him into a burden for Christ. Look at this. very heavy key. They hung it on this pastor's neck. My brother, see, we thank the Lord, we know the truth, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the prophet said, it's not in his hands. We are looking at a position now. And it's not worn around his neck. See, and it is not placed in the hands of other men. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. That the key is not in the hands of a man. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. So it's not placed in the hands of other men. Or the verse could not say that he alone has the use of that key. For he alone opens and shuts. And no man has the right but him alone, Jesus himself. Amen. Then he said, but where is the key? According to Isaiah, we have the answer. Amen. Where is the key? It is on his shoulder. See? But what does shoulder have to do with it? See, the prophet is breaking everything slowly so that we can get the understanding. Amen. Said, before you can get what? The meaning of a key, you must know where it's positioned. Then you can what? Say something about it. If it's in the hands, maybe it has a meaning. If it's around the neck, maybe it has a meaning. Praise the Lord. And if it's on the shoulder, it has a meaning. So now he said, now what has the shoulder have to do with it? Praise God. Then the prophet read Isaiah again, 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. Really? Yep. So, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the prophet said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Then he asked the question again, what does this mean? Amen. The answer is this. The phrase government upon his shoulder comes from a wedding ceremony. Now he's giving us a type. A wedding ceremony in the East when the bride has been committed to the groom. She takes off her veil and places it over the groom's shoulder. The bride takes off her veil and then put it on the shoulder of the groom. So we are going to see the meaning of that, which implies to the key being on the shoulder. Praise the Lord. Now, the prophet said, signifying that not only is she under his dominion. So in the first place, the bride is what? Committing herself that she is under his dominion. So we are now going, we are seeing where we are. Praise the Lord. We are under no other dominion than what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And that she has transferred her rights to him. So all our rights, we don't have even rights. All our rights are in what? Jesus Christ. But today world, what is it? They said what? Human rights. Huh? Today, they said what? Human rights. So, see, a man can do anything. Human rights covers a lot of things. Freedom of speech.
Oh, this is that. So, oh, everything. Yes, every man can do whatever is his human rights. See, you listen to it itself, human rights. It's not going to lead you to anywhere. Amen. But the true Christian, our rights, we have surrendered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't surrender to the world or under any government. Amen. And then, that he is the head. So the bride takes Jesus as what? The head. All our rights in him. We consider him, we are under his dominion. And then, but also, he then is coming to the groom's side. Jesus' side. But also that he, as the groom, bears responsibility and the care. Amen. So he takes what? Every responsibility of you. Oh my. My brother, we shouldn't be worrying ourselves. See? The Creator is responsible for me. Amen. So why should I worry? See? Praise the Lord. Even if I don't have money to buy food, I shouldn't worry. I know the Creator is responsible. Amen. Oh, thanks be to God. See, so, and then responsibility and care. And then he said, he and he alone, no one else other than, or any other man other than his power. All our rights and he takes every rights and every responsibility. Amen. Is that, and that, beloved, is the key of David. Amen. The key of David, it plays to what the bride is supposed to do. And what he, the groom, also is what? His part to play. Is that God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be his bride. So he knew it. According to what? Foreknowledge. He knew who would be his bride. So he said he chose her. God have chosen us. He chose her. She did not choose him. Brother, we are here because he has chosen us. Never anyone's good that merited you to be here. No, sir. He chose you. That's why you're here. He called her. She did not come to him on her own. Amen. He called us. As he said, no one can approach unto the Father approach unto me except what? The Father draws him. Amen. He died for her. Oh, just look at that. He died for her. He washed her in his own blood. Brother, we are washed. All the stains of sin and iniquity and everything has been washed away. Amen. It is not, we are not under the blood of bulls and goats. He said, the prophet said, the blood of bulls and goats, they just covered sin. Amen. But it doesn't take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect realization, the perfect blood, it washes everything away. Amen. He said, he paid the price for her. She belongs to him. And him alone. Amen. She is wholly committed to him, and he accepts the obligation. Let's listen to that phrase again. He had paid the price. First, he has chosen you. He had called you. He died for you. He washed you in his own blood. He paid the price. And You belong to him and him alone. Amen. Because it's a question of what? Marriage. Amen. It's a question of marriage. The wife has no other man except what? The husband. Praise the Lord. See. And then when he said she is wholly committed to him. My brother, let's look at our commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, it shows in the house of God to a brother, to a sister, all counts as you are doing what? The work of God. Amen. Wholly committed to him. And then when we do that, then he said he accepts the obligation. See? He, as the groom, will accept every obligation on your behalf. He is her head, for Christ is the head of his church. And he said, and as Sarah called Abraham Lord, sisters, amen. How many sisters called their husband Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. It will be very nice. You see, brother Eli is turning to look at the wife. maybe he just called, he still remembers the time they were having a honeymoon. The way how she was calling him, maybe it has never changed. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, my sisters, it's very nice. Call your husband, my Lord. Today I believe you do it. Sister Jigdana, yes. I know you call Pastor my Lord. Amen. God richly bless you for doing that. Amen. Because your mommy Sarah was doing it. Said, as Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy that he is her Lord. Amen. The bride is happy. We are happy that our Lord Jesus Christ, we will call him Lord, Lord all the time. We will never fail. Amen. Oh, I wish my wife would call me Lord from this time going. Amen. Amen. I'll be happy to do that, eh? And God will bless you. Amen. Now listen to this one also. Another strong one. He said, he speaks and she obeys, for that is her delight. Amen. He speaks and she obeys, and that's her delight. Amen. And that also doesn't give the man the lenses to say anything at all. You have to speak like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus will not put what? Pressure or burden upon us. Already he carries what? My burden. So that's the meaning. Amen. We the men, we are responsible to carry their burdens. Amen. And then definitely, when you speak, they will what? They will obey, and it will be a delight to them, and they will call you my Lord. God richly bless you this morning. Amen. The key of David, it has two ways. Amen. The part to play is on the shoulder. See, that the meaning of it depends on where the key is. And the key being on the shoulder, it signifies the part that the bride has surrendered everything to what? To the husband, to the groom. Everything, she's committed everything to him. And then, as he has also accepted the veil upon his shoulder, he has a responsibility to pray also for the wife. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. As we heard from the beginning, he said, the key of David, it was a shadow. But now it is what? Christ in the midst of his church. And that is exactly what he is doing. Praise the Lord. God richly bless you. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. You have taken every responsibility of your church, O God. We thank you that also we are happy also, Lord, to be obedient, Lord, to you. Whatever you say, Lord, we are ready to accept and to be our delight, O God. Father, we thank you, committing, Lord Jesus, our next activity, Lord, to your hands. As we commit the song leader and the musicians, our instruments, our lips, our heart, our hands, everything, Lord, we want to bring to give you the glory and worship you, Lord, this morning. Father, we know you're already here because you stand in the midst of your church. Accept your children this morning. And Lord, bless us with your word, even as your servant, Lord, is waiting, Lord Jesus, even now in your presence, Lord. Father, overshadow him and bring him here, Lord, and use him as your mouthpiece, God. And knowing the needs of your children, Father, meet each and every one this morning, according to your riches in glory. And Father, this morning, we are coming with a request, a double portion. We want a double portion this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.